We would turn with you to Psalm 92. Verse number 12. This is a song for the Sabbath day. A song of worship. A song of praise. You see, singing is very much a part of the pattern of worship. An entire book of the Bible is nothing but a collection of songs. So no wonder we enjoy singing to the Lord. Amen. How many love to sing? Praise the Lord. Well, we're going to look to the songbook tonight. And we're going to take our text right out of the songbook, Psalm 92, verse number 12, and it goes like this. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing, to show that the Lord is upright. How many believe that God is an upright God? And there is no unrighteousness in Him. Praise the Lord. I want to preach to you tonight on gathering spiritual fruit. Hallelujah. How many want to gather spiritual fruit tonight? Praise God. God bless you. You may be seated. Fruit bearing is not a temporary condition. That God intended for you, and He intended for each of us to bear fruit, to be productive in the kingdom of God. Not only to bear the fruit of the Spirit, allowing the Spirit of God to manifest itself in us, but God desires of each of us that we be productive. That none of us were created because of our beauty. None of us were created just to be silent. But we were created to give honor and praise unto the Lord. Everything we do, everything that we are, everything about us, that we are to give praise and honor to our Creator. We are to be bearers of spiritual fruit. Jesus cursed a tree one day as He was walking with His disciples, because the Bible says that He was hungry and He desired to eat fruit from that tree. It was a fig tree. And the Bible says that even though it was not the time of figs, it was not even the right season for figs to be on that tree, but yet that tree had already put forth a great show of leaves. It had it had flourished as far as outward appearance was concerned, but it was barren. And so it held prospect. Jesus had every right to expect figs on that fig tree because that tree was advertising that it had fruit, that it was out of season. But God can do things in season and out of season. Amen. God, we don't have to wait on God for God to do something wonderful in our life. That God does things whenever God chooses to do things. And sometimes God blesses us in a time that we least expect God to bless us. How many of you have been blessed in a time of drought? It wasn't a season to expect a blessing. It wasn't a time for fruitfulness. But yet God bestowed His bountiful blessings upon you because God is a sovereign God. And so when he saw that fig tree with its foliage, that he fully expected to find fruit. If we are going to claim to be apostolic, Pentecostal Christians, that we had better live like apostolic Pentecostal Christians ought to live. There's nothing quite so ridiculous as somebody dressed up like something that they're not. Now, I've always loved cowboys. That my family has a cowboy culture that goes back many generations. And I grew up on a farm with horses and cows and all the things of a farm. We had all those things to enjoy. But there's nothing any more ridiculous than somebody that's dressed up like a cowboy that doesn't know the north end of a cow from the south end. Amen? If you're going to put on a hat, you better be able to sit in the saddle. If you're going to advertise that you're a Christian, then you better be a Christian. From the top of your head to the sole of your feet. Because there's nothing that God hates any worse than a pretender. That somebody that pretends to be something that they ain't. Well, God wants you to be genuine. God wants you to be real. God wants you to be apostolic. Amen. Every part of your being to be truly baptized in the Holy Ghost and full of mercy and grace and the blessings of God. Can you say praise the Lord? He fully expected fruit on that fig tree. But when he got there and he began to examine the branches of that tree, he was disappointed because there was no fruit on that tree. The tree was barren. And the Bible says that Jesus looked at that fig tree and he cursed it. And he went on. The Bible says when the disciples of Jesus came back later that same day that they passed by the fig tree that Jesus had sought figs upon. And they were astonished. They marveled because the fig tree had withered so soon. Now I've seen trees die. But I've never seen a tree die in one day. I've never seen it just wither up. And die from the root up. But that's exactly what happened to that fruit tree. That it withered up and died. Because Jesus said that it should not encumber the ground. Because He had put it there that it would bear fruit. As children of God, that God wants us to be the bearers of spiritual fruit. That God wants us to do wonderful works in His name. He wants us to exemplify what a Christian ought to be. Our lives are meant to be productive for the kingdom of God. And fruit bearing is not to be a temporary condition. That statistics prove that most new converts come into the church as the result of new converts. Most of the soul winning that's done in the average church is done by people who have been baptized with the Spirit for less than 5 years. Why is that? When we look at statistics, it's very sobering for us when we analyze, when we consider especially that the trees of our church are generally populated by trees that have been in the orchard for a little while. That I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand or to stand up, but I just wonder how many of us here tonight have been a believer baptized in His name, filled with His Spirit for less than 5 years. I know that there may be a few of you that are new to this apostolic truth. But according to statistics, that most new converts are won by those who have only been in the body of Christ for a very short period of time. That doesn't seem to measure up, that doesn't seem to be compatible with what the Bible teaches. The Bible says that the righteous shall flourish like the palm tree, and shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. It seems to me that the longer that you've been planted in the Lord, amen, the more productive that you ought to be in the kingdom of God. Now I know that doesn't gin with the data of fruit trees, because fruit trees, after so many years, that they have to be replaced, and younger trees have to be planted in an orchard, because trees of advanced age, they begin to grow weak and they become less productive. But in the natural terms, a tree of 3 years or less is very unlikely to bear much fruit. How many have ever planted fruit trees? That young trees, we don't expect very much of young trees, because it takes a maturation, it takes time to cultivate a tree and to prepare it to be a fruit bearer. But after proper attention is given to a fruit tree, and it reaches about, say, 5 years of age, it begins to produce abundantly. And for a number of years, that it is very productive in producing fruit. But then somewhere around 20 years of age, and thereafter, that fruit tree begins to wane in its productivity. It begins to produce fewer and fewer of fruit upon its branches, in spite of all the careful cultivation and watering and pruning that is given to that tree, until eventually that tree has to be replaced by a new growth in order to be productive. But there's something so different and unique about the kingdom of God. Because the Bible says, those that be planted in the house of the Lord. Amen. There's something about being connected to the body of Christ. If you're a born-again believer in the name of Jesus Christ, you need the house of God. The Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. There's something about those who have a love for and a joy for His house and for His presence, that they are going to be productive, that they are going to be blessed above the average, above the ordinary. For those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. And verse 14 says, they shall still bring forth fruit in old age. I don't have a cane tonight, and I really don't need one. But you know, I really don't need an excuse, amen, of why that I cannot be a soul winner. I don't really need to be looking around, amen, at the young people in the church and putting it upon their shoulder, amen, to bear the responsibility of winning souls. Because my Bible says that the tree that's planted in the courts of the Lord shall bring forth fruit even in old age. Oh, I'm telling you that there's something about the renewing power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And it doesn't get old, but it's new and it's real and it's powerful. Praise God. Oh, thank God, thank God. The Bible said that they shall still bring forth fruit in old age, and they shall be fat and flourishing. Well, we may not have the fruitful part, but we've probably got the fat and the flourishing. It's time that we get all of it. It's time that we begin to stand upon the principles of the Word of God. I can be fat and flourishing, and I can still be fruitful. Amen. Because I've been planted in the house of the Lord. Hallelujah. I can be productive for the kingdom of God. Amen. I want to bear spiritual fruit. I want, amen, to yield according to the measure of the power of the Holy Ghost that is in me. Can you say praise the Lord? Hallelujah. You see, fruit bearing is not supposed to be a temporary condition. It's not supposed to be something, some kind of a disease that affects younger Christians for a few years, and then they get mature and, you know, they'll settle down. Fruit bearing is not a disease. It's not an anomaly. But God expects every one of us to bear fruit in the kingdom of God, from the youngest unto the oldest. And guess what? He doesn't expect the same from the young as He does of those that are ripe at a mature age. It's upon us that God has placed the responsibility, not the new converts, not the ones that just started out living for God. But God wants you to bear fruit in your old age. And you say, praise the Lord. Boy, I'm in the prime of my life. Hallelujah. Amen. I believe that God, amen, wants to use some veteran apostolic Christians, amen, to bear some fruit, to bring about a move of the Holy Ghost, to bring about a moving of the Spirit in the midst of the congregation. You know why? Because I believe that God can use the wisdom and the experience of older believers to challenge and to inspire, amen, Christians of all ages. Amen. Thank God for men and women have got some experiences in the Holy Ghost and have been given wisdom. Thank God for some gray hair. The Bible says that the gray hair, amen, is a crown upon you. Amen. It's a crown of wisdom. Thank God for some apostolics that have weathered some battles, that have gone through some storms, that stand like a palm tree in the midst of a hurricane. Why? Because because they have been here and they have been there in spite of the storms around them. They're an inspiration to those that would follow after. Oh, thank God. Oh, thank God for palm trees. We just got back from Houston, and it hadn't been that long back that they had a terrible storm that devastated the Gulf Coast. And it destroyed entire blocks of houses. It flooded neighborhoods and destroyed property, and many lives were lost. One of the most devastating storms in Galveston history. But you know what? When we were driving along the shore of the Gulf, I noticed that there were still some palm trees that were standing tall, that were standing resolute. Thank God for some apostolics that have withstood some storms. And in spite of the difficulties, in spite of the damage that has been done by the enemy, amen, that we're still standing upon the rock. We're still standing for the truth. We're still standing upon the Word of God. There's no compromise. There's no going back. Why? Because we've been planted in the house of the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. There's something about a palm tree that stands tall. And palm trees live a long time. They're meant to withstand hurricane force winds. God made them that way because He made them to grow in areas where the storms are great and they are ferocious. That's where God planted the palm tree. If there have been some storms in your life, if you've gone through some times of destruction, yeah, it wasn't a mistake. It wasn't that you missed the will of God. God planted you there on purpose. God planted you there to withstand some storms. God planted you there to withstand the enemy. Why? Because He did it in His name. Everything was according to His purpose and His design. God planted the palm tree, amen, to withstand the storm. And if you have been planted, amen, in the house of God, that you can withstand the storms that come against you, that buffet you, that try to pluck up you, life of the roots, you can stand if you'll have faith in the power of Almighty God. Hallelujah. The Lord compared the righteous to the cedars of Lebanon. The great cedars of Lebanon, although they are few in number today, that they once covered many square miles of the mountains of the eastern Mediterranean. And Lebanon and the northern sections of Syria, or southern Syria, northern Israel, these great and mighty cedars that they thrust their beautiful, majestic heads over 120 feet toward the heavens. The cedars of Lebanon did not grow in the valleys. They did not grow along the shores of the sea. But these great and mighty mammoths that God created, that they grew upon the majestic mountains. And on those beautiful mountainside, these beautiful green evergreens grew to these magnificent heights. And it is said that many of the great cedars of Lebanon are over 30 feet in circumference. Now, I don't know how many men it would take to make 30 feet. Brother, let's join hands here together and let's see how big that is. What y'all say that is, probably? 15? 10? We need about three more men. Can we get three more volunteers? We're going to have to spread out. So come get three volunteers to come up real quick. They're going to have to get this tree bigger. we're going to have to reach. Let's see if we can connect. Is that 30 feet, you think? That's close. I don't know, brother. That's a big tree. Amen. But God compared the righteous to the cedars of Lebanon. Amen. That's no small example. That's no Texas braggadocio. That's not evangelistically speaking. God compared you to the cedars of Lebanon. Those majestic mammoths that grew upon the mountains of Israel. And they defied the lightning and the thunder, amen, that crashed upon those high mountain peaks. It doesn't matter how low that you are or how high you are, amen, in the kingdom of God, that God knows just exactly what you need to withstand the elements, to stand erect and strong in the face of adversity, whether you're a mountain grower or whether you're a valley dweller. Amen. God did not make a mistake in your life, but He made you to withstand the storms of life. Can you say praise the Lord? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Now I'm going to try to go a little bit quicker, to quicken the pace. We might have to get the drummer up here to quicken the pace a little bit. You know, the cowboy songs, the reason that they seem to gallop along is because that they wrote those beautiful cowboy ballads to the canter of the horse. As the horse walked around the herd of cattle, they just kind of strummed on the guitar to the rhythm of the saddle. Amen. We might have to quicken in the pace. Amen. But I want you to know there are some things that are necessary in order for us to grow. Amen. The Bible tells us that one of the things that's necessary is living water. Oh, hallelujah. Thank God for that living water. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Without living water, amen, you can't grow. But I want you to know, with the living water, oh, there's no telling what God can do. He'll make you flourish like the palm tree. He'll make you flourish like the cedars of Lebanon. In the book of Ezekiel, chapter 47 and verse number 12, the Bible says, "And by the river, upon the bank thereof, on this side and on that side, shall grow all trees for meat, or all trees for fruit, whose leaf shall not fade, neither shall the fruit thereof be consumed, but it shall bring forth new fruit according to his months, because their waters they issued out of the sanctuary, and the fruit thereof shall be for meat, and the leaf thereof for medicines." I want you to know there's something about living water that brings life. And not only does it bring life, but it brings healing. It brings salvation. It brings hope. It brings joy. It brings peace to those that will drink of its waters, because it comes out from beneath the sanctuary. It comes out from beneath the very footstool of the throne of God. Thank God for the living water of the Holy Ghost that gives us life. If we're going to be fruitful, if we're going to be productive, if we're going to be an apostolic Christian, we need the power of the Holy Ghost in our life. Without the living water, you'll die. You can't live. Amen. There's a lot of things you can live without, but you can't live without water. There was a drought in West Texas several years ago, and they were beginning to worry because of the water was getting short. The water was getting short, and they were talking about rationing water. And this one dear sister, she said, "I'm not worried about the drought," because she said, I don't drink water anyhow. She said, I'm just going to keep drinking my coffee. And they can just all worry about the water shortage. Boy, that was wisdom speaking, wasn't it? I want you, you may think that you can do without the Holy Ghost. You may think that you can live on talent. You may think, but where did the talent come from? You may think, amen, that you can live on popularity. But I want you to know that every good gift comes from the Father of lights. Anything that we have, amen, we don't really have it, but it's a gift of God. That everything that we are is because of Him. That we've got to have living water. We've got to have a move of the Holy Ghost. We've got to be apostolic if we're going to enjoy the fruitfulness of the kingdom of heaven. Hallelujah. We got to have it. Another thing you got to have is good ground. You've got to have good ground. Amen. The ground, amen, that God plants the Word is the spiritual mind. Good ground is a spiritual mind, a receptive heart that will receive the Word of God. Amen. But you know, even good ground requires cultivation. Now, I've seen a lot of fertile soil, a lot of good ground. But I've never seen any ground that was so good that it did not require some cultivation. Amen. I don't care how smart you are. I don't care how many degrees that you've got behind your name. Amen. If you're going to receive the wisdom and the understanding of God, it would be because you cultivated a thing, a desire for the things of God. He that hungers and thirsts after righteousness shall be filled. You've got to cultivate a desire for the things of God. You've got to cultivate a habit of searching the Word of God. You've got to cultivate prayer in your life. Amen. It don't matter how good the ground, if there's no cultivation. Amen. Then the seed will not bring forth abundantly. You know, the Negro College Fund has a saying, a mind is a terrible thing to waste. But how many wasted lives? Because men would neglect to study the Word of God. I want you to know the Word of God is essential to your salvation and your hope. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Amen. We're begotten by, amen, the incorruptible Word of God. You can't be saved without preaching. That God chose the foolishness of preaching that some might be saved. And God help us to fall in love with the Word of God. To fall in love with His precepts. To fall in love with His commandments. Because we need to be grounded in the Word of the Lord. We need good ground. And in order for there to be fruit bearing, that we have to crucify our carnal nature. How do we crucify our flesh? Through discipline, through repentance. We've got to discipline ourselves. There's going to be some pruning of our branches if we're going to bring forth fruit. When you prune a fruit tree, you purge, you take away things that are encumbering the tree, that are hindering the tree from maximum productivity, that there's nothing wrong with the branches, that a lot of good branches are actually pruned from a fruit tree. Not because they're diseased. Not because of any deformity. not because of any imperfection, but we prune fruit trees because we know that it boosts productivity. We need some discipline in our lives. We need, amen, to yield our flesh to the Spirit, submit ourselves unto the will of God, and say, Lord, not my will, but thy will be done, if we're going to bear much fruit. And then we've got to abide in the presence of the Lord. Oh, thank God for those that abide. The Bible says that those that abide in the presence of the Lord and those that abide in His Word, they will ask what they will and it shall be done. Oh, I want to abide in Jesus. We cannot bear fruit unless we abide in the vine. If we don't abide, that no power of man, no ability of man can produce spiritual fruit. But we have to depend upon abiding in the Lord and meditate upon God night and day in prayer and in worship and in attendance upon the house of God. For they that are planted in the house of the Lord, they shall be fruitful even in their old age. Praise God. Amen. Would the musicians begin to come? Yes, God wants us to be fruitful. It's not an anomaly. You don't have to be a freak to be a soul winner. You don't have to be, amen, a former prostitute or a drug abuser to be a soul winner. Even ordinary people can be a soul winner. Soul winning is not an anomaly. It's not just for the young, but it's for the old. It's for those that are rooted and grounded in the Word of God. It's those that live according to the strength of God and have a passion for the things of God. It's those that understand their need of living water. Oh God, let me be like the tree that's planted by the waters. I shall not be moved. Oh, hallelujah. Let me bring forth abundantly. How many have ever been out on the western plains of Texas or Kansas or anywhere west of the Mississippi? You know that one of the ways that you can find the water course is because that wherever there's water, you'll find trees. And if there's not any trees, that means there's not any water. That's why Midland doesn't have no trees. Because they don't have no water. But if you see trees, you know that the water's not very far. The pioneers, as they crossed in their prairie schooners, and they saw a line of trees on the horizon. Oh, there was something that quickened their pulse. That's something that gave them hope, because they knew that there was water not very far ahead. Hallelujah. I want to be like a tree that's planted by the waters. Oh, hallelujah. I want to be a sentinel. I want to be a sign of hope to some wayward pilgrim that's searching for God, that's thirsty. You know, there's something about thirst that will drive you mad. When they drove the longhorns to Kansas to the rails, that there were many dry areas that they crossed where there wasn't much water. And when the summers got hot and dry like this year, the steers would become maddened with thirst. When they begin to get just a little scent of water. How many have ever smelled the rain when it begins to get close? Oh, there's something exciting about the smell of rain. Oh, how it raises our hopes and our expectations. Those old steers would begin to smell the air. And they could smell water miles and miles away. They didn't have to even be in sight to know that there was water ahead. No matter how weary they were, no matter how weak they were, no matter how far they traveled, they knew that if somehow they could just get to the water, that all hope, amen, would be worth it all. They could just get there. The cowboys would try to restrain the cattle as much as they could, because when a herd of steers is maddened with thirst, they will literally trample one another to death in trying to be the first to get to the water. The Bible tells me that in the last days that there will be a famine in the land. But it won't be a famine for bread, nor will it be a thirst for water. But it'd be a hunger and a thirst for the Word of God. Oh, I believe tonight that if we will allow ourselves to be planted by the waters, amen, that the sinners will come, that the thirsty will come, that those that desire Jesus Christ will come, and they can find hope, they can find rest, they can find refreshing in the waters of life. Let me be a tree that's planted by the waters that shall not be moved. A tree that's planted by the water does not fear the heat or the drought. Its leaves are always green and flourishing, no matter how dry the conditions may be, because they're planted by the water. Hallelujah. You may be traveling in a dry and a thirsty land where no water is. Amen. It may not seem that there's been a move of the Holy Ghost for many a mile of your journey, that you've not felt the refreshing of the Holy Ghost in your life. But I want you to know, if you'll just send down the roots, amen, that you'll find living water that will satisfy your thirsty soul, than a tree that's planted by the water. Will never fade. It will always bear fruit, even in times of difficulty, in time of drought, in time of heat. If it's planted by the water, it will bring forth fruit. Why? Because it's continuously renewed by the water. Oh, would you stand tonight? I want you to know there's water tonight for the thirsty. There's water tonight for those that desire to draw closer to God, that it will renew your soul. It will give new life. It will give new hope. It'll give new meaning. It will satisfy you who can find rest tonight if you'll come to the waters. Because God wants you to bear fruit. It's a will of God that I bear fruit. It's a will of God, amen, for us to enjoy the blessings of God in a dry and thirsty land. Oh, hallelujah. Let's lift our hands right now to Jesus. Let's worship Him. Let's magnify Him. Let's glorify Him. Let's praise His name.